Hi, Peter Balker here, and welcome to today's edition of The Transition Going. Now, today's episode is going to be slightly different. I'm actually out in Dubai, and really, what I found was I'm actually pleasantly surprised by the region. Contrary to what a lot of people say in the press about the region, the diversity policy of the whole UAE is fascinating. And actually, since I've been out here, I have been amazed at what they are trying to achieve. I mean, talk about a country that's been highly progressive. You think about it, 50 years ago, what you see behind me, that was desert. Water, obviously, you've got the Persian Gulf, but it was pure desert. In fact, in theory, nothing should be here. Nothing should be able to live here. Yet look at it, in the last sort of two decades, unbelievable development. Anywhere you go within the city, there's development, and they're continuously looking to expand. And the plan for the future is unbelievable. And actually, when you look at businesses, countries are no different to businesses, really. You take Apple. I mean, Apple and their ability to diversify actually allowed them to grow as a business, survive and evolve. And actually, with Dubai and the UAE, it's no different. You take the UAE, it has a GDP of approximately 421 billion and actually is the fourth largest economy in West Asia and the second largest economy in the Gulf state. And you think about that for a moment. The second largest economy in the Gulf Corporation and the fourth largest economy in West Asia. And a lot of those other countries within Western Asia are far more established than this region. And when you look at the country's economic growth, although it's been largely driven by oil since its discovery back in 1962, in recent years, the UAE really has focused on diversifying its economy. And you look at it, it has approximately 200 different nationals here, 200 different countries working in the UAE, all in sort of services, financial sectors, you name it, they got it, just so that they can reduce their dependence on oil. And look, you wouldn't necessarily associate the region with agriculture, yet it's huge in agriculture. Infrastructure, first class. Construction, brilliant. I mean, the services here are just unreal. You've got so many people coming here to work. It's like it's slowly becoming the next Singapore. You've got tourism. I think in 2022, it had its best year ever for tourism. You've got aviation, telecommunication, aluminium production, etc. And if you take Abu Dhabi's economic vision, 2030, Dubai's strategic plan of 2015, and the UAE's 2021 vision, they're all key in implementing diversification policies across the region. Now, the UAE has taken several sort of measures to attract foreign or investment and really kind of foster business growth. Now, what kind of things have they done? Well, number one, they've allowed sort of 100% foreign ownership in certain sectors. They introduced the 10-year golden visa, the green visa, and freelancers visa, and actually organizing the Dubai Expo in 2020. And actually that in itself was absolutely remarkable. The country's leadership has focused on advancing entrepreneurship and innovation, making the UAE a global economic player. Even cryptocurrency is playing a huge role right now in the UAE. And Dubai is proactively strategizing for the future. They're reorganizing the importance of not depending solely on a single income source, as they know that actually with the move towards electricity and away from fossil fuels, it's not sustainable in the long run. And they clearly grasp the significance of diversification and are making efforts to pursue it. Whether their diversification policies prove to be the right ones, well, that remains to be seen over the next 10 to 15 years. but they're doing something about it. So what are the key factors to consider when deciding to diversify a business, and how can business owners determine if diversification is the right strategy for their company? Well, I'll give you a prime example of a business that has successfully diversified, and that is Apple. And you think about Apple, it has significantly expanded its product offerings and market reach over time. I mean, back in 1976, Apple was founded by both Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. And in fact, little do people know, Roland Wayne. And it initially just focused on personal computers with the launch of Apple I. And the company gained quite early success with the Apple II, but soon faced challenges as competitors entered the market, namely Dell. And in the early 1990s, Apple really did struggle to compete against the growing popularity of Microsoft's Windows operating system and IBM compatible PCs. Now, to combat these challenges, Apple started to diversify its product lineup, venturing into areas like printers, digital cameras, and portable CD players. And as we all know, many of these products failed miserably to achieve any significant market share. And actually, the company's financial situation continued to deteriorate. I mean, it was absolutely dire. Now, the turning point for Apple came when Steve Jobs, on his second coming, returned to the company in 1997 after a 12-year absence. Now, initially he came in as a consultant, and what he did, he refocused Apple's efforts on a few key products and initiated the development of the iMac, which in fact helped revive the company's fortunes. What was interesting about Jobs though, he understood the importance of diversification, but also recognized it had to be strategic and aligned with the company's core strengths. So in the early 2000s, Apple expanded into the digital music market with the launch of iTunes and the iPod. And for them, this move was a total game changer. And it not only created a new revenue stream, but also helped Apple establish themselves as a consumer electronics powerhouse. And Apple continued the strategic diversification with the launch of the iPhone in 2007, which totally revolutionized the mobile phone industry and became the company's primary revenue driver. Now think about it, the iPhone's success propelled Apple to become one of the most valuable companies in the world. Apple's strategic diversification played a crucial role in transforming the company from a struggling computer manufacturer to a global technological leader. By focusing on innovation and identifying opportunities in new markets, Apple managed to overcome challenges and flourish in an ever-changing industry. And you can see that today. I mean, the landscape within that whole sphere is continuously changing, yet Apple continuously dominates. So when you're thinking about diversification, what questions could you be considering? Well, one of the first ones I would consider is, what key factors do you need to decide on when diversifying a business? And actually, as business owners, how do you know whether diversification is the right strategy for you? Now, you're not always going to know that, but you take someone like Blockbusters. Here's the challenge with Blockbuster. Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix, but it wasn't in its strategy. Streaming wasn't in its strategy. By the time it actually decided to make the change, it was too late. It was dead in the water, and Netflix went. You look at Peloton right now. Peloton's in a really interesting place. During lockdown, Peloton's strategy was solid. People were at home. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Exercise was actually really popular. People bought all the bikes. They subscribed to the online training. Why? Because actually it was convenient. They couldn't get out to the gym. Post-lockdown, Peloton has seen its revenues absolutely plummet. Now, it's done a couple of things. It's put up pricing, which has also proved to be quite hugely unpopular with its fan base. So people are selling off their bikes. They're losing subscribers. So they've had to look at more the hardware space, and big part of their strategy going forward is diversifying, not moving away from sort of bikes and treadmills, but adding to it, where they're starting to bring in the smart rower, as well as a number of other products where they're aiming to have the complete gym at home. Now, when you look at it, if you then got the sort of subscription across a number of different machines, perhaps that value offering is going to be a lot better and a lot more palatable for users. So here's a couple of examples where diversification and change is necessary. And as you as entrepreneurs, because that landscape is changing, you've got to start thinking, okay, what is it I need to be focusing on as a business? Where is the puck going to be, and how can I take advantage of that? Now, if you're struggling and thinking, okay, well, where do I start? If you've never read Scaling Up, read Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. It's really good. And it's got this thing called the Seven Strata, which helps you sort of focus on the strategy of the business. That would be a great tool for you to have a look at. The tools are available for free on scalingup.com. So you can go download them, have a play. At the end of the day, you may find it a little bit overwhelming, because a lot of people do. If you want some help in sort of going through the tool itself, explaining how you can use the Seven Strata to really make sure that your strategy itself is solid and fairly bulletproof going forward, you can head over to bulka.com and get in touch. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you to look at your business, the Seven Strata, and how you can use that to really make sure your strategy in terms of diversification is solid enough for you to have sustainable growth over the next 5 years. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As I said, it's a little bit different. If you like today's episode, please like it. We like likes because it helps us with our rankings. Share it with others so they also can benefit. And most importantly, subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. And remember, failing to learn is learning to fail. Please stay safe.